and love the interior delights of solitude and silence of prayer. But was it possible that she, the daughter of God the Father, mother of God the Son, spouse of the Holy Ghost, should not burn with a vehement desire that all mankind should glorify that Father, that spouse, that Son of God? How often must she, while still a child in the temple at Jerusalem, have prayed thee with ineffable longings for that advent of him who was to come? How often must she have exclaimed with accents of love, quote, drop down thy dew, ye heavens from above, and let the clouds rain as the just one upon the earth be opened, and bud forth a Savior, Isaiah 14. At that later time of her little cottage in Nazareth, how often must her thoughts have turned to her Son, to the future to which, as Gabriel foretold, was to endure forever? Then she would rejoice as she thought of promised salvation of the elect, the conversion of sinners, the joy of angels, the overthrow of demons, and the redemption of the world. How she must have loved to repeat the angelic words, quote, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. This zeal for God's glory consumed within her became at times manifest also to others. For instance, scarcely had the Son of God become incarnated within her womb when she set out in haste to visit her relatives in the distant mountains of the country of Judea, that they might share in the blessings of the divine child. Again, at the marriage feast of Cana, Mary with her faith hastened at the hour which Jesus should show forth his power. Again, she tarried with the apostles in the guest chamber that she might lend to the supplications of the disciples the efficacy of her own prayers. Faith, prayer, the love of Jesus, interior virtues, they were all the weapons of Mary's zeal. It was not stern and menacing like that of the prophet Elias. No, it had the mildness and the sweetness of the Spirit of Jesus, who would not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax, for he would fain give life to all and sanctify all. But let us leave these general reflections and consider in particular these two instances of Mary's zeal which we have just mentioned, namely her visit to St. Elizabeth and her conduct at the marriage feast of Cana. These two instances best show forth Our Lady's zeal. The angel Gabriel told Our Lady that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived in her old age. The Blessed Virgin, in her enthusiasm of her love and joy, went to visit her and journeyed in haste till she came, quote, into the hill country of Judea and entered into the house of Zachary and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth had heard the salutation of Mary, the infant leapt within her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, end quotation. This maiden of 15 years, to whom God in her womb gives lightness and agility, and who seems to be wafted with the breath of the Holy Spirit, goes in haste and stays not till she reaches the home on the mountainside, where she finds and tenderly greets her aged relatives. Does not this incident prove the truth of those words, ever beautiful and deep in meaning, quote, he who loves flies, runs, and rejoices. He is free. He is not held. Mary's haste is a thing so unusual within her, is like the spouse in the canticle whom it is said, quote, arise, hasten to my beloved, my dove, my beautiful one, and come, from the Canticle of Canticles, chapter 2, verse 10. Love and joy inundate her soul. Her maidenly timidity does not hinder her from undertaking the long journey. Her divine burden does not retard her as she ascends to the steep mountain path. The grace of the Holy Spirit will allow no delay. Jesus hastens that he may sanctify his precursor. Mary hastens that she may bring gladness to Elizabeth. And both are eager to impart their ineffable favors, as St. Ambrose says. This indeed is pure and genuine zeal for the glory of God, for it is the love that manifests itself, my deeds, and overflowing from the abundance of the heart, as it says in Luke chapter 6, 45. Mary, filled with God's presence and inspired by the Holy Ghost, feels herself constrained to communicate God's love to souls of others. It is a supernatural impulse felt only by chosen souls with so much love, and which, before they quit the seclusion of the inner life, heap up treasures of virtue, of wisdom, and of the sacred heavenly fire, which cannot but diffuse itself to enlighten and purify the world. As it says in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, oh, how I wish the world was already on fire. I wish that it was already ablaze. Alas, how rare is this true zeal for the glory of God. With the love of others, yet in them there is not a spark of the God's love. There is a false zeal, a restless, a meddlesome zeal, which is a love of itself, but not a love of God. It is a flower which is showy indeed, but yielding no fragrance. The loving zeal which quickened Mary's steps in her journey to that city of Judah was again manifested at the marriage feast of Cana, where she prevailed on Jesus to hasten the hour in which he was to show his power by miracles. It is not holy eagerness of a zeal which cannot brook delay, and which runs the way of divine commandments after he perfumes him who exalted as a giant to run his course. Jesus Christ had not yet done any miracles, and his hour had not yet come, as the scripture has said. But Mary knew that times and movements and moments may indeed be hastened by prayer. The time seemed long to her before her son should be glorified and men be saved, and she could not refrain from uttering those words so significant in their simplicity, "They have no wine." These words hasten the time of our Lord's miracle and of the salvation of the world. How often are we in need of the wine of truth, the wine of grace, the wine of spiritual joy? And thou, dear mother, you do obtain all this for us from Jesus by thy loving prayer. It makes reference to the Salve Regina attributed to St. Bernard. That your voice, it does not have wine. It is necessary for us who are deficient in wine in these things in which we fall. Wine, which is the joy of heart in the silence of their hearts. The chalice in your hand, merit to us to come, the divine love. Say, O mediatrix of mine, speak for us to your son. We don't have wine. So in this way, on this first Saturday, we can ask Our Lady to impart with us that same zeal for souls. When we pray, it does indeed have effect. When we act in accordance with the movements of the Holy Spirit, which each of us have received by virtue of our confirmation, not only to petition the Holy Spirit, but to have his movements already at work within us. The very works which we do and the prayers which we say, just like Our Lady's prayers and works, hasten the coming and the miracles of our Lord for the salvation of the world, so too our prayers can hasten God's graces into moments that have no grace, into souls that have no love, into spirits that know not the movement of God within their lives. Let us ask her for these graces as we allow ourselves to become small enough like Therese, to let God do great things with our little works. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.